I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
A bizarre crime has been committed. The public flabbergasted. Cops baffled. To John Chu public, I say the scene is awful. Carnage, mayhem, despair, anarchy. The cool spots have been kidnapped, and only one spot is left to save his cohorts. He'll need your help. Make no mistake, you'll encounter crabs wearing underwear, demented cheese-slinging pajama mice, teeth with no head. But remember, that little cool spot is out there somewhere. You may be all he's got. Cool spot on Sega Genesis.
Welcome to Play Retro. I'm Scott Johnson. And by the way, I want to say this. I'm a guy who would play a video game about Kentucky Fried Chicken if it was good.
What, the chicken or the game?
The game.
And I am your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I am thirsty for a man dressed in an aluminum attire and a cool spot to lay my head. Fry guys.
Oh, a cool spot to lay your head.
A cool spot.
That's pretty good,
Brian. I love that commercial, by the way, at the top of the show. I don't think I didn't find that one. All the ones I went digging through,
yeah.
I didn't hear that one. So good job.
That seemed like the one that I remember seeing that may or may not have tricked me into buying that game in the first place. So
right.
I will not say tricked one way or the other. Well, I mean, think about it for a second. At that time, in 1994, how stoked were we for brands to be in our video games? I wasn't. I thought it was a bad idea. We're going to get into all of that and why.
Yes.
Cool Spot from 7-Up and Virgin Interactive. And technically, who was the other? There's another dev involved. Anyway, we'll get to all that.
Right.
Those guys made a game that actually worked somehow. And it's an interesting phenomenon. There are other games that sort of followed suit, some with less success and others with more. And we're going to talk about that today. So stick around for all of that. Before we get into it, though, I want to put a big fat thanks into the air for David Martinez. Why do you ask? Oh, I didn't bring it down here. There's a whole box upstairs,
no.
And you're getting a whole box in the mail because I had to split what I got and then send you the other half. David Martinez sent us, he's a huge retro game nerd. And he has a ton of stuff in his collection, like all kinds of stuff.
Oh, he sent pictures today on Twitter. And oh, my God, it was the moment that I realized I'm in trouble.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I'm in trouble. I could see me totally going to those depths.
Yeah, it's nuts. And so he's dumped some of his collection and given it to us. So we're going to get these little arcade cabinets that are playable. I think I sent you Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Which he mentioned was one for sure to send to you. I think, I can't remember if Frogger's here.
That's spot on. He asked me, and that's the one I wanted.
I ended up with Joust and some others. Anyway, they're really rad. Oh, I just want to thank him for that. It was a super nice thing to find at the post office box, and we're thrilled about it. So thank you very much, David Martinez, for the awesome loot that you sent us.
Absolutely.
I also picked up during the week one of these. So I got a little wild hair up my rump and decided to buy... A popular...
They make an ointment for that, by the way. Go ahead.
A highly rated portable emulation device called the Ambernic. And when I say Amber, it's not A-M, it's A-N-B-E-R-N-I-C.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ambernic.
Yeah, okay. like Anne Boleyn, sort of. Not really. It's this semi-transparent black case. They have a wooden one as well. I didn't go for that one. You can see on this thing, there's already a bunch of categories. All games, PSP, PlayStation, Neo Geo Pocket, Neo Geo Normal, Dreamcast. Actually plays Dreamcast games. It's crazy.
And this is all preloaded?
A bunch of these are preloaded. So they have categories for almost everything you can think of, including there's a version of the Game Boy I've never heard of here. Hold on. Oh, there's N64 in here. I didn't know that. Super NES. Let's see. Game Boy, Nintendo General. Oh, PC Engine, MSX. The three Capcom boards, like they're different system boards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the WonderSwan color, MAME, of course. Final Burn Neo, whatever the hell that was.
Oh, yeah, Final Burn Neo. That's the MAME emulator that most of us are using on RetroArch.
And so before anyone does like what I have right now, what's his name up there? Ace Attorney.
I love it. It looks good. The screen is sharp, at least at least we're looking at it. It's very smooth.
Yeah, it's
looking.
Nice and bright. And that's partly why I picked it up. So this thing was on Amazon for not too much money. And of all of these sorts of things, and there's a ton of these kinds of things.
Oh,
out
God.
There.
It's so intimidating. Like, I don't particularly care to buy these kind of things off Amazon, but, you know, sometimes it's the cheapest, quickest, easiest way to do it. And oh, my God, you sent me the link to the one you had. Mm-hmm. And then, like, underneath it was the same brand being sold by about 20 different sellers. And I'm like, too much.
It's a lot. So the reason I chose this one is because it supports a couple of native built-in managers, I guess, is if you want to put it that way, or emulation systems. One of them being the one that you're using all the time, RetroArch, which I have to admit, right. I was a little bit newbie to when we started doing this show. I didn't realize how far that had come. Anyway, so this is running in RetroArch. Let me turn this up a little bit. This is actually just a copy of the Neo Geo Pocket. Metal. What's it called? Gosh dang it! I forgot the name of the damn thing.
That's my favorite.
Metal Slug. Second mission.
Oh, Metal Slug. Yes.
Yeah. And it plays real good. Like, I'm having more fun with the Neo Geo stuff than I expected on here.
The Neo Geo stuff was always amazing. When I would see the Neo Geo stuff at the arcade, I was like, okay, this is the next level. Plus, it was also, they had, like, you know, multiple games on the same system. And it's just like, oh, you mean I get to just pick?
Yeah, it's nuts. I just figured out how to put it to sleep. That was the thing I was struggling with, but I just figured it out. Anyway, it's a very cool little device so far. It's got a 64 or maybe 128, I forget, gigabyte micro SD in there. There's another 16 gig micro SD that is just system software. Like it's the RetroArch and stuff like that. So there's two of those. So you can do a lot with like messing with those. There's a bit videos that are showing how people flash the firmware and dink with it and add all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, firmware. It's got two charge ports on the bottom. Actually, one's for data. The other is for data or charging. They're both USB-C. A little analog stick on the front, D-pad, and then, of course, your A, B, X, and Y.
Wait, did you just call me a D-pad?
You're a D-pad. Well done, D-pad.
Thanks, man.
Man.
Now I feel like I'm properly back in the 90s mindset when you call me a D-pad.
That's good. Good. I'm going to do that from now on. That's your new name here on the show, D-pad.
We had a lot of people who responded to that on our Twitter account, Play Retro Show.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of suggestions because I'm still looking. I'm as well going to look for a handheld. I haven't decided, though, because I like the idea of using real carts because you can pick these things up. You know, most of them pick up fairly reasonably. And as long as you don't go crazy, it shouldn't be too bad. But I would like to get the like something that uses the FPGA so that, you know, it's supposed to be like, emulates the true hardware, Mister, the ultimate retro gaming device, all that good stuff.
Yeah,
I'm still looking into it. But if you're listening and you've got some great recommends, either hit us up on Twitter or playretroshow@gmail.com. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know what you think. You know, again, I did this based on reviews and cost comparison to, you know, how good the reviews are. There's a lot of stuff out there that was just like do it yourself. Like, here's the shell. Now you put in a Raspberry Pi and build the rest. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want one that was, you know, ridiculously expensive or too cheap because I don't trust it. This thing's got some localization issues. So some of the menus are just a little funky on the English. Not that big a deal, but plenty of YouTube videos and stuff to help me out. So anyway, so far so good. I like it. I forgot to mention this has two, or it has all four shoulder buttons on the back of it if you play a game that has shoulder buttons.
Nice.
Yeah. So you can play a little tick, 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 little
the,
Z button.
The fact that you got one and that it arrived and that it works is a miracle.
We're already in Miracle Town. Yeah.
Right. I'm already pleased.
Yeah. It's pretty neat. So anyway, as far as what games are, interesting there so far. I'm really happy to be getting into some old Genesis stuff, and I played a few games that I thought were rad back in the day that I don't think are that good now. Like, I don't think Streets of Rage 2 is as good as everyone says it was. It was good when I played it, but Streets of Rage.
This is going to come up a lot in future Play Retro shows. What holds up? What and how we're playing it, and if it works in modern sensibilities. So yeah, it's going to be a topic that we talk about a lot.
For sure. All right, Brian, tell me about your gaming area. You said you're going to make some changes. What are you doing there?
Right. Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, we've been getting a lot of people sending in pictures and, you know, of their gaming areas and what they're doing. And I've been very impressed and inspired to rethink my gaming space. I would like a space. I don't want. Okay. So I'm going to ask out the community here. And Scott, especially.
Yeah.
I don't want a mancade, right? Yeah. I don't want it to be all about the bro.
Yeah.
I want an area, and I'll give dimensions later on, but I want a small area where I can get the best, you know, experience for family coming in and playing, right?
Oh, interesting.
Like, I want them to feel welcome in my area and feel like I want to share my retro love with my younger kids and my spouse.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, the easiest way to do it is get a little box with a Retro Pi in there and plug it into your TV. I mean, that might be the easiest way. But if you're trying
that's probably the easiest way, but I don't think it truly represents what I experienced, especially at the arcade. Mm. I mean, that certainly would be kind of a console experience. I've already done that somewhat. Like, I made all my kids play records. When I got a record player a couple years ago, and wherever they would come over, I'd be like, hey, put this album on.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted them to experience what I experienced. So then we have conversations. They can go, oh yeah, when you pick up the needle, you know, when you do this, it's very analog.
Yeah.
But it was an experience. And no, I just want to share that. I don't want to drive my kids crazy with it, but I do want to share the experience.
Well, you just need an arcade cabinet that plays a bunch of stuff on a smaller ass screen. That's not great. Oh, look at that little header. See, that's cool. Waka waka, right?
Everyone. Yeah, this is they've already been lovingly purchasing me retro gifts, and so I'm trying to decorate a little bit too.
Yeah, I want to do that too around here. I worked on that cabinet. A little update on that. Cleaned it up.
Excited.
Super dirty. I had to clean it, and now the next step is to pull that CRT out of there, which is going to be the thing I got to be careful with, because those are the ones that retain their charge and can hurt you. So that's next.
But you just send a kid out to get it. You want to share the experience.
Yeah. There you go. Neon Gremlin.
Now
in the
you
chat.
Know what it feels like when a CRT blows up in your hands.
There you go. Neon Gremlin in the chat says he's got a bunch of ideas, but he wants to drop diagrams and send them. Please do send it to our email. We'd love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll give you guys my floor dimensions and some of the things I'm thinking. I'll maybe even take a couple of pictures and stuff, and we'll kind of track it as we go along. So Scott's going to be building an arcade, and I'm going to be trying to make my podcast gaming area more friendly.
Yeah. I don't think I'm building an arcade though. I'm gonna work on that arcade cabinet. Yeah, I'm gonna work on that machine, and that's it. I am not building an arcade. Hell to the no. Although I might do it in I was messing around in VR in Horizon Worlds, and you can build anything in there. I went to some guy built an arcade, and I went in there and I played a ripoff version of Pac-Man that was amazing. I don't know how he did it. It's just tools. It's got scripting language and stuff, so you can just program whatever you want. You do it all in VR. Totally. You build the whole thing. It's all object oriented and all these triggers and scripts and stuff. And it made me just want to make a cool arcade space.
I've done a little bit of that because I got really excited about the Emu VR. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, but I'm impatient. You know, they haven't made it so that you can import your own items yet.
No.
You're kind of like stuck with, you know, the screens and TVs they have in there. And so I started reading because it was built on Unity. So I started digging deeper and I'm like, oh, okay, what if I just wanted to make my own little small personal space? So I've been digging into Unity and how they're doing some of that stuff. Yeah. Now, it wouldn't be nearly as cool as what EmuVR goes, but it would allow me to make something very customized, very specific to me.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Emu arcade. It's an arcade.
I've had people. I say Emu, and I know that I'm a U.S. citizen, so it's EmuVR. And some people have said that's not how you say it. I'm like, okay, well, I say Emu. I don't know what you say.
Nah, I feel you. Well, anyway, we got a lot to talk about today, so we're going to dive in and talk about Cool Spot and why it matters. So enjoy.
Shall we play a game?
Yep, we shall play a game. Let's get into it. It's part of what I would refer to as product brand-based games, which even today are kind of unusual, but they do happen. And in your head, you might be going, yeah, Pepsi Man, or how about that Burger King Sneak King thing that Burger King gave away a bunch of 360 games for a long time, or they maybe didn't give them away. They were maybe like $5 or something.
It was like $3.99. So you could choose. It's like, okay, do I want to eat a burger or do I want to play Sneak King?
Well, what if you want to eat a burger and play Sneak King? I guess you'd just be out like then $8.
You're rich.
Yeah, you're loaded. So those come to mind. And Sneak King, by the way, not a bad game. It was all right. We'll talk about it and its place here in a second. But the game I want to focus on is a game that came out in 1993
is when Cool Spot came out. That's what we're going to talk
there
about.
There it is, yeah. So December of that year, Virgin Interactive put out this game on the Sega Genesis at first, I believe, and then later SNES. I think it came later, right?
I think so.
I believe that is correct. It eventually went to the SNES and also the Sega Master System as well as the Sega handheld.
Game Gear got one. I remember playing the Game Gear one and thinking it was not very good. But the version on the Genesis and the version on the SNES was pretty strong. When the SNES version
right
did come out.
Right in the middle of the console wars too, man.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Those were the times to be alive. And anyway, as a result, it was a kind of a revelation. It was like, no, wait a minute. Games can be okay that are like brand names and stuff. Oh, I don't know why this has sound. Hold on, everybody.
I love that you just played Spot. That was Cool Spot right there. Right?
Yeah, that was him. It's him jumping around that stupid logo. But anyway, Spot, Cool Spot, that is the little, I don't know if he's a mascot. What is he? I guess he's a mascot.
He is a mascot. So he's a mascot that really came into full being around 88 when they released the first Spot game. But he'd been in their marketing for a while, especially in the U.S. or exclusively in the U.S. at that point. We had seen the 7-Up Spot actually turn into a Pac-Man during the early 80s, which is a weird tie over. Yeah. But yeah, he's just a little dot that's between the 7 and the up that are on the bottles. That little
7-Up guy. And he's part of the logo, and some bright idea guy in the 7-Up corporation went, you know what? We could make this guy a character. And so they did. And lo and behold, it was actually a pretty good platformer. I played a bunch today. I'm not 100% sure I think it holds up, but it does okay. Here's a taste of what that sounds like. Simps surfing in on the 7-Up bottle, which is the thing he does at the very beginning. He comes surfing in, and then he lands on this island.
Now he's jumping on red balloons as you do and collecting other spots. He's collecting cool points is what he's collecting.
Yeah, because those aren't actual spots. They look like them, like baby spots, but they're more like...
you might need to have that looked at.
Now, my only big problem with this game is it's decided to do something control-wise that maybe this was okay back then, but it drives me a little nuts today. And that is, they're not the buttons you would hope them to be. Jump is B... A is shoot your bubbles to hurt things. And that threw me the whole time. I was like, no, jump should be A. B should be maybe. B shouldn't be anything. X should be the shooting. That just drove me nuts. So I don't remember what the original control scheme was. Yep. I'm using a 360 controller to emulate this. So it's not quite the same.
There's one of your problems right there. I'm holding up right now the Sega Genesis Mini. replication of the original three-button Sega Genesis, which is the one we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
And the D-pad is an eight direction, and it uses and the way they're set up is a little different than the Xbox D-pad, which is probably how you played this. And I could certainly see if you being frustrated if you were using the Xbox controller D-pad for that.
I had no problem with movement. Movement was no problem. My problem was right. strictly the assignment of the abilities on the buttons. That drove me nuts.
That's true, because you know on the old controller it was just all it was in a straight line, right? That's how the buttons were. So that's how I played it, and so I didn't have any trouble there. But you're right. I have played some Sega games on the Xbox, and it's very confusing because. It's X, A, B, which are the bottom three buttons, and it's more of a V shape than straight across.
This is also this is a good confused. Discussion because back in the day, this was all of the gaming consoles and brands were fighting to decide who was going to have the best or who would have the interface that would become standardized. And try as they might, even Nintendo, with all the reach and wonder of Nintendo. Their thing is strictly only Nintendo. No one else does it. Like Sony and Microsoft, they've got their own twists, but they're still kind of the same. So if you hit A on an Xbox and you hit the cross button or X on the PlayStation, they essentially have the same, you know, same muscle memory. You're gonna have to remember or re-memorize everything. Whereas on a Nintendo device of any kind or controller, you're constantly having to go, oh right, B is back, not jump. It's like just weird.
It's an interesting evolution. We'll have to have a whole episode one day about controllers because I mean I think there's just so many things we could talk about controllers.
I know it's impossible to just do one, but I do love controller talk. I love the six button Genesis controller. I think I even played this game with it at the time. That may not be right, but I think I did. And I preferred that controller much to the three-button one that I just basically wanted to burn my three-button ones. I hated them.
Right.
Yeah, and look at that.
Yeah, the six-button would have been around in 93, so that shouldn't have been, if I remember correctly. Now, this is my 8-bit do six-button wireless that I have
here. Genesis, yeah. And that'll connect to any Bluetooth, right? Straight up Bluetooth.
Correct. Now, of course, the six-button doesn't do anything on the cool spot because really you're only using two buttons, and the controls on the cool spot is actually it was a little bit frustrating for me as well, and it more had to do with the momentum movement and also you have to on the Sega Genesis version you have to be moving to adjust your shooting angle, so it's an eight directional. And if you're going to shoot some crabs, right, if you're going to shoot the crabs,
you got to shoot them,
by the way, you're shooting them with your carbonated bubbles, right?
Because
you're a cool spot,
because you're a fuzzy drink character. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they can't stand it.
No, these crabs are like F you. I don't want none of your freaking fizzy drink.
What is this? This is not natural. Your lemon and your lime with your cane sugar. But so that was one of the things I had trouble with, trying to, if you would be in a certain position, you're like, okay, am I going to have to jump all the way back so I can reapproach this because I stopped along my run and now I can't shoot directly at the crab that's diagonally in front of me. So it can be very frustrating. And also some of the platforming stuff, there's a little bit of a cheat with his, how he grabs a hold of like balloons, especially like in the air.
Yeah.
So when he jumps towards it, you're like, yeah, I can't jump that high normally, but it, you know, it's magnetic and it just pulls you towards it.
Yeah.
And it can get a little confusing.
It can be a little confusing. It's also very herky jerky compared to what I remember. A lot of screen shifting, which I think was the Genesis always prided itself on this kind of movement.
Right. That could have been some of the emulation. I'm not sure. I emulated this on my Sega Genesis Mini, which uses the Sega Genesis emulator, whatever they got built in there.
Yeah.
And it was fairly smooth.
Do you have that thing hacked so you're like loading ROMs into it and stuff? I have that.
I
should do that.
I do. Yeah, absolutely. It's very simple to do. Let me see if I can remember the name of the application. Basically, you have to plug it in through a USB, and you can download this portable version of something called Hackchi. It's also Hackchi. It's also a SNES or NES emulator cracker as well. But I used it for the Sega Genesis. You have to have a very special. You have to make sure that you have the original cable with the Mini too.
Oh,
because it's got interesting. Little, you know, it's got that micro USB.
Yeah, freaking hate micro USB.
Yes, the micro.
I hate micro. Micro is the worst interface connector ever built.
The worst.
They break.
Always shorten out.
Make everything USB-C and knock it off already, everybody. What are you doing? Thing's not that old. It came out just a couple years ago. We've had that for, right. We've had the USB-C standard forever. What are we doing? Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
Did you know Frank Welker was the voice of Cool Spot? Did you know that?
I mean, the one that goes, wahoo!
Yeah, freaking Megatron. Yeah. Megatron did the voice. Crazy. He was, of course, that guy was doing voices for everything back in the day, but he's like the Troy Baker of the 90s. He did all video game voices, and this was one of those for sure.
Surely he must have been, they must have sped that up, right?
Oh, well, I mean, either that or he's just, you know, he's a genius, whatever. He can do anything.
He is a genius.
Okay. I've heard him do, I think he's Snarf on, isn't he Snarf?
Oh, that yeah, is he Snarf?
maybe not. I don't remember.
I'm trying to hear it.
Snarf, 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 Snarf. I mean, I have him as Megatron here. Let's hear that. Where is he?
Well, Megatron, definitely.
Here he is.
No more Optimus Prime.
Doesn't sound like that.
No more
cool
Optimus
spot.
Prime, Snarf.
Yeah, he's not like that in this game. But anyway, that's him. And he did it throughout all the versions. When I say versions, I don't know if you guys knew this. There was a sequel. We'll get to that in a minute. There were others of their era that were a little bit like this. You pointed out a game I'd never heard of, and I want to talk about just for a second, called McDonald's Treasure Land Adventure. On the surface of that, that makes me want to vomit because it's probably the worst pot, at least a cool spot. It's like, it's a drink. It's refreshing. It's whatever. But I hear this and I just go, McDonald's in my video games? Are you kidding me? How lame must this be? And it turns out it's not that bad. It's all right. That game.
I was really shocked. Now, I played Cool Spot, and my opinion of that was, well, you know, it still kind of holds up somewhat, but it's repetitive in a lot of spots. And I'm like, it's a lot of spots. And but then I never played this McDonald Treasure Land Adventure. Yeah. And I had always been kind of thrown away from it because it's like it's syrupy, right? Yeah. It's got tons of color. It's got Ronald McDonald walking around with his big pants and big shoes on. Yeah. And just like it was going to be annoying. You
it's
know,
for kids. It's 100% for kids in every way. There's nothing about this that tells you an adult should play it.
No. But as an adult, oh my God. I thought this game, this is made by Treasure, the game company. And it was just, it was an amazing experience. It was such variety in characters. Yeah. And it was just.
It surprised me how good it is for what it is. Here's a little bit of that. Kind of a jaunty. Very, very Genesis soundtrack going on here.
Yeah.
So basically, here's what you do. You scroll left to right as Ronald McDonald, which looks real weird on screen, but he's this big, you know, jaunty looking clown. And he's got...
it's Fred Willard.
He does look like Fred Willard. The original Fred Willard...
that's right. Original
version
Ronald.
Of Ronald, right. So anyway, he's got this three abilities, basically. He's got jump... run, of course. Jump, run, and then some kind of sparkly shooter that's supposed to also be like soda or something. I don't know what that is.
It's magic. You're definitely existing in a magic world. You're not going to see as many McDonald's characters as you thought because this is outside kind of the realm of the usual McDonald's universe.
Yeah.
Ronald has found a map, and he's got, we know it's four pieces, and he's got to find the four pieces of the map.
Chat room says it's salt, by the way. I love
that. Is it salt?
I don't know.
That makes sense.
If it is, that's amazing. I freaking love it.
And one thing they didn't mention is his other power, which is to squat like he's taking a poop, which is my favorite part. I don't know if you've seen that part.
I have. I played it earlier, I played this game today. Okay. I just want to let everybody know that I took some time out of my life and played Ronald McDonald's Goofy Adventure. And he, he's got another ability too, which is he takes his, I don't know what that is, his hat or a shoe or a sock or something.
Oh, no. Are you talking about his, okay, so Ronald is not only a clown, he is also a magician clown, right? So he's got a magic scarf like you pull out of your sleeve.
Is he a magician? I never heard that before. Is that true?
Well, you know, most clowns do at least dabble in magic, right? That's what clowns do. They dabble in magic. So he's got like this. He's got this scarf that pulls out of his sleeve, and he grabs. That's part of when you're not platforming, you're usually trying to get to higher levels using that.
Yeah,
scarf.
Yeah, it's like it's a verticality mechanic that you don't usually see in these games. And as annoying as I think it looks, I think in practice it's actually kind of a cool mechanic. So I was impressed with that. And they also have zip lines that are based on a similar thing. You got to hold the button to make it work. There's these little gnomes that are the worst. I want to murder them all.
Oh, the weather gnomes are really kind of the worst because they're kind of hard to approach. This game is not, you know, we're lauding praise on it, but there's also a lot of shortcomings. I mean, how about it's really good for the market it's in, which is, you know, advert gaming. And but there's a lot of difficulty in controlling the characters. And
listen, this is real jaunty. Listen to this. I mean, you know, that makes you want to go get some nuggets, some fries, maybe, you know. Go spend
makes
some
you
money.
Want to go collect some Furbies. There's all kinds of weird non-canon characters in this game. You know, there's like these Furby characters. There's gestures that you gotta attack. There's some ballerinas later on, and gnomes. I'm like, there's never been gnomes. So, but they really did this Treasure Games was commissioned by Sega. Treasure Games was starting, right? Yeah. There was some group of developers from another game company. They were getting together and they were trying to get the ability to publish their games on platforms, and they couldn't make it happen. Yeah. So Sega basically strong-armed them into making this McDonald's thing.
Yeah. And now they got a deal and they made it.
But they didn't phone it in, man. No, they really did a good job.
I'll give them that. I think it's as good as any other, you know, certainly any other tie-in game, better than most. I think that the fact that there's no like Grimace mini boss or freaking Mayor McCheese is ridiculous. Why aren't there Fry Guys and stuff? What is going on?
Right. There's as you go along, the economy of this game is outrageous, by the way. There's like flowers and gems and different things going on. So you can collect, you can get more Ronald lives. And then when you get the gems, because this actually one thing this game really holds over the platformer spot, cool spot, is that there are boss fights. So you'll go to these boss fights, and the way you beat the boss is you allow them to suck the gems out of your pocket, and while they're distracted, you can hit them with the salt, right?
Yeah.
You hit them with the fry salt, and it will.
Oh, there's the head. There's the Hamburglar.
Yeah, the Hamburglar is here. He's the first character that you come across, but he's not a bad guy.
Oh, I didn't get that.
What
far.
He's doing is
okay.
Right, you're unlocking the Hamburglar, Birdie. Remember the bird that couldn't fly that had to use balloons?
Yeah.
That plays a part in this game too. You got to collect a power up for balloons for later on, when you get in situations where you fall off a platform and you can't get back up, and the balloons will carry you away if you have it. Otherwise, you just die.
Okay.
Pretty complex stuff, actually. Believe it or not,
for
in
a game.
This game,
yeah, for a game like this, it's a little bit surprising. And I would argue that the same goes for Cool Spot. It's just a stupid spot with legs and sunglasses. Like it shouldn't.
But
be
he was
okay.
Cool.
Well, he is. He's cool, and he's cool on. How do we put this? He's cool in execution. He's shit on paper. Right. Like, it's just a terrible idea on paper, I think.
There was something going on in marketing during the early 90s, and we had decided that we would use the idea of cool. So we were breaking away from the Reagan era establishment of, you know, of corporateness, and, you know, like Nintendo really represented, you know, that corporate idea of, you know, strong arm and everything, but being a really good company as far as just, you know, providing the gaming arena a solid place, right?
Yeah.
But then Sega, this is what happened with this console wars, they wanted to be cool because they wanted to attract an older audience. And marketing at this time was all about cool, except for this Ron McDonald
thing. Except
for
this game. It's not cool.
I don't know.
It's not cool at all, man.
But I mean, and it all culminated in the coolest president ever, Bill Clinton.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
You could
right.
say he sucked as a president. That's fine. I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
But you got to admit, him playing the saxophone on Arsenio Hall is, you know,
I get your definition.
In our generation's mind.
Yeah, I get your definition. He wasn't a cadre old fart who couldn't seem not have any fun. He also turned out to be, you know, a liar that was like taking advantage of underage interns. But still, you know, he had a cool factor to him that once that wore off, it made it worse maybe. But, you know, at the time, it's like, he's cool. He seems all right. He's playing a saxophone on Arsenio Hall, and he's going, whoop,
everybody
whoop, whoop,
was, that was the thing. Like I said, marketing was all about cool, and you had the cool spot. You had Chester Cheetah, not Cheetos, Scott.
Yeah.
Chester Cheetah.
Cheetah.
He was also cool, by the way. His games really didn't hold up.
No.
I don't know if you got a chance to peek at Too Cool for Cool or whatever, whichever ones it was.
I did not look at that one.
Those advert games
yeah.
did not hold up. They were like E.T. level unplayable, well, in my opinion.
Let me tell you what else I played. See if this sounds like anything you've
yes.
heard before. Go get some pizza because it's time to get some pizza because the Noid is here. All right, so that game is Yo Noid. That came
Yo
out
Noid.
1990, so a little earlier than all
yeah.
this. This was a NES game, and I have to admit, mechanically, I played... Okay, let me tell you the things I played today. I played Cool Spot, right? The one we talked
cool,
about.
Yeah, Cool Spot.
I played
yeah,
the McDonald's yeah. game.
McDonald's Treasure Land Adventure.
Yep. I yeah. played a game called Pepsi Invaders, which I'll get to in a minute. And I played Yo Noid. And Yo Noid for the NES
right.
is the most mechanically interesting of all of them. It's actually the most fun to play. It doesn't look the best. It doesn't, you know, it's an NES game, so you don't have parallax right. scrolling or any of the cool 16-bit era stuff.
You're 8-bit.
You're very 8-bit. Right. You know, not a lot of animation, just sort of basic stuff, scrolling background. But mechanically, well, first of all, they don't screw up the button placement like I was complaining about with the other ones. This one knows exactly what the button should be. A should
right.
jump, or, you know, your bottom most part of your diamond of buttons, that should jump. And X, or whatever the equivalent of X over on the left hand of your buttons layout, should be whatever
right.
shoots or attacks. That's how life should be in the world. This game
yes.
knows that, and I appreciated that. But also, I don't know, it just felt good. It was a fun scroll. It felt good to shoot dudes and kill dudes. These Elmer Fudd-looking enemies that... I felt like they were maybe ripping them off a little bit. It was a fun time, and I was very surprised by Yo Noid, which
yeah,
the name
look,
makes me want to die. I hate the
it
name.
Was what's right. The name is terrible, but it makes me laugh because they're making a play on the fact that he uses a yo-yo, which also was seeing a resurgence during the early 90s. Obviously, as Yo Noid mm-hmm. had a yo-yo, as well as Spot. If you stood around for a minute or two,
yeah.
he would start sometimes throwing down the yo-yo. Ronald, not so much. He liked to make the arches.
Yeah,
he
put
he
his
standing.
Hands.
What's that called when the idol animation? What is it? Just called
just the idol animation. Yeah, when you're holding still and Mario gets sleepy,
yeah.
starts you know sits down and talks about lasagna or whatever. That's totally an
right.
idol animation. I'm a big fan of those. It'd be fun to see a whole compilation of those.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we one day... We should just do a little contest, do a little vote with the audience and say, who's your favorite idol animation of all time?
That's a good one. I like that one.
Everything with a character in it that isn't first person is idol, and even some first-person shooters have idol animations. So
yeah. I gotta admit, after seeing McDonald's, seeing Ronald do that, and it's like an unclosed heart that people do, since
yeah.
it's just the golden arches, it really... Something about it works for me.
What if it's a gang sign now and we just don't know it? It might be.
Right. I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Everything's a gang sign.
It's a question. Do you want to go eat some McDonald's? You want to go get...
Well, let me tell you about a Pepsi game that isn't Pepsi Man. It's Pepsi Invaders. And this again...
Oh, this is old school.
This is very old. 1983 was the year. It was the Atari 2600. I didn't know this existed, but it was legit. It was a real game. And this is what it sounded like. This sounds familiar. You won't be alone. Now, if that sounds like Space Invaders on the 2600, you would be 100%
yeah.
correct. The difference is the little ship at the bottom looks different, or your base. The big structures that protect you in Space Invaders.
Right. The barriers.
Yeah,
right.
The barriers are not barriers. They're spelled out words. I forgot what they say. They don't say Pepsi.
They probably say Pepsi, no?
I wish they did, because then it would make effing sense. But they don't say Pepsi. They just here. I'll put some video up for the chat so you guys can make sense of this. The only thing that was Pepsi like in the entirety of this thing. Oh, this is just the Wikipedia crap. I thought I had the video. I'll look for it in a second. But the only difference between this and Space Invaders that I could tell, or the only thing that made it Pepsi, I should say, was the ship that flies across the top. Like right now, you can hear it, and you're trying to shoot up between, hit him, and get extra points. That UFO ship. Was blue and red like Pepsi colors.
Right.
That's it. The rest of it
so
is
basically,
just... It's just Space
basically,
Invaders.
Basically, Pepsi was going, I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make Space Invaders
yeah.
for you
yeah.
cheaper, but you're going to agree to look at our branding.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And then you guys remember in Space Invaders when stuff gets real crazy after you're only down to one or two dudes?
Yeah.
Here's that. See, it's getting faster. Even more. Okay, more. Oh.
It's too much.
That
makes me hate Pepsi.
I cleared it.
Good job.
I actually kind of had fun because I like Space Invaders. It's a fun old school game, but it's a ripoff of Space Invaders. Don't bother with it. I don't think it's very good, but it's another example of like, that's just some meddling. That's not even like a branded thing. That's just saying, hey, what if it was, kind of like this, but had our name on it? They didn't even try. Whereas something like Cool Spot or this McDonald's game or others, they actually go for it.
It just picked a genre. It said, okay, we're going to use the platforming genre and we're going to step inside this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I instead can of an absolute that. Flat out rebranding of something that already exists, which by the way, it kind of exists now in the mobile space where there's these generic games that can be branded for fairly inexpensive for any company to get involved. And I'm like, oh, but that takes the soul away from it.
Yeah. And we need more soul, not less.
We need soul.
Soul in our cool spot. Okay, check this out. This is crazy to me. Wild Wicked Willie Will is a character that was supposed to be
in. You read the book.
He was in the cool spot manual, but never appeared in the game in any form. Even though it says here, even though he is the guy who looked up your fellow spots motivated or locked up your fellow spots motivated by a desire to capture a real life spot from the seven of universe. Right. You are the only free spot.
He's like Gargamel for the Smurfs.
Right. And did you know why you're the only one left? Because they actually tell you in that manual.
Why are you the only one? So you're the only one that escaped in encampment.
You're the only one that didn't suffer whatever fate Wild Wicked Willie Will had for you. That's the stupidest name. It's because you were out surfing on a bottle of 7-Up.
Yeah. Like in the commercial, right? It's
And the beginning of the game, they show that as well. It's the start screen. Right. You're on that bottle. So you were away, like just surfing and having a ball while all your buddies were getting rounded up. Yep. I guess there were no other signs and you just didn't know. You're also supposed to, the main thing here is if you complete the game on difficult or hard and collected all of the cool letters, you had to spell out Uncola. Remember they were the Uncola?
That's right. They were the Uncola. Ooh, do you remember those? Do you remember the glasses from either the 70s or 80s? You remember how the Coca-Cola and Pepsi glass used to be kind of like small towards the bottom and then like flared out the top?
Oh, yeah. I do remember
that. So they inverted those glasses. My grandma had some. They inverted the glasses upside down, so the big part was at the bottom and the small part, and it said like 7-Up Uncola.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And it was, you're like, oh, that's clever. You ever tried drinking out of one of those?
No, I never have. Do you have anything like that? You still have?
No, I don't. But there's a reason why they flare at the top and not at the bottom.
Right.
Let's just say that.
Let's just, we could say that. I think that's fine.
Right.
No shade thrown at anyone's grandmother for their poor taste. Okay. All right. A couple others I want to mention on here that I didn't play but are worth mentioning that all kind of, I don't know, bask in the light of this sort of legacy. And that would be Pepsi Man. It's still very, very, very weird.
Most notorious of advergaming.
Yeah.
Pepsi Man.
And it's funny that drink companies are the ones that are really rolling our cheese here. Let's see if I can get some video of that going. It's taking forever to load. But
snack foods and drinks during the here's some more a little bit. Just this is just world politics. This isn't necessarily politics to be talking about politics. This is more about during the 80s when Reagan came in, he kind of lifted a lot of restrictions by appointing individuals who lift restrictions for advertising towards kids. Mm-hmm. And so during the 80s and all the way into the early 90s, it was a full on heyday for those corporate branded people, especially when we started putting consoles, video game systems in our homes of kids. So it was direct marketing.
Yeah, for sure. Some of that stuff got lightened up. People could start, I don't know, jamming their brands down kids' throats in other ways. This game came out in 1999, so we're well past that era, obviously. But I'm showing it on screen now a little bit here, the Japanese version anyway, of Pepsi Man.
This is PlayStation Era 1, right?
Right. Early PlayStation 1 era. Let's see. PS1 hit U.S. shores in 96. So, yeah, it's still in the thick of that.
Right.
But
this was never on the it never made it to American shores, though, right?
Pepsi Man? I think it was Japan only, and it was... Notable because people were like importing it and thought they were really cool because they imported this weird game with Pepsi in it. I remember that. I remember people being proud of it. It's like, dude, I totally hacked the thing and got a copy of it because my friend works at such and such and he knows a Japanese guy who can get me these games. And it was so weird.
It is weird. I mean, the game is weird itself, but also the fact that it was the localization of it was America. Pepsi Man was always American icon, but it was only advertised in Japan, so weird. I guess it's how Japanese people saw us. Maybe
I don't know. Now Pepsi Man's in a garbage can while he runs over Pepsi cans, so maybe that is how they saw us. I don't know. Like, it's a very, very weird thing, and it's basically an endless runner, by the way, if you want to talk about games that you know, 3D perspective behind the shoulder, 3D endless runners. This game kind of preceded all that by a good decade or more.
So it's kind of like Paperboy, right? Because Paperboy is just like that. That was like the first endless runner I remember playing. You're kind of like, you can slow down, but you can't really stop necessarily.
Yeah,
you can't,
except you weren't. In the case of Pepsi Man, he can't stop at all.
Pepsi Man can't stop.
Pepsi Man is not going to stop for anybody. Even if this truck drops another couch on the street, he's still going to jump over it successfully. Ooh, there's a Pepsi truck. He has to duck under his own branded truck. Good Lord. Anyway,
love it.
Now he's in front of a store at a Pepsi machine. The store's called Kids Kids. Okay, great.
Right, Kids Kids. Now anyway. the whole idea behind Pepsi Man, he's supposed to be trying to quench our thirst, right? He's trying to collect Pepsis and get them to the people.
Yeah, he's trying to save everybody from whatever it is that will stop us from getting Pepsi and available to us. So thank goodness.
Stop us from getting Pepsi.
Yeah, thank goodness he's around. It's funny, though. This version's got English everything except for the dialogue that the characters have. So,
oh, really?
So I
thought
know.
They were always all English all the time from what I understood. But I haven't played Pepsi Man in a while.
I haven't played. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever played it. I just remember it. And I remember thinking, well, that's really stupid. I can't believe this exists. And there were people who swore by it, thought it was great. Yeah.
The music is very catchy. The Pepsi Man theme song is very catchy.
Let me play some of that. I got it right here. So that's him, you know, running over Pepsi cans, breaking through the. I would be pissed if I were these people. Actually sings Pepsi Man.
They do. Throughout the 90s, we seem to have a fascination with cool and surfing and beach music.
Yeah, have you noticed a trend marketing today? The trend in just today's selections, they're all going for kind of a beachy tropical theme. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Did not expect
that. Well, we did during the 90s, apparently.
Yeah, we were super into it. Other examples include, we talked about Sneak King. It was basically a play on like stealth gameplay, and you snuck around as the king, as the Burger King king.
I wonder at what point in time they realized did they realize from inception that the Burger King character mascot that they were using for their marketing was creepy, or did they do a couple of commercials straight faced and then said, this is creepy. You know, it'll be even creepier. Let's really lean into it and have the creepiest thing ever. Have a Burger King mascot sneaking around your neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. Try not to get detected. Like, it's legitimately kind of fun. It's not bad. It plays to like stealth mechanics people were playing at the time. And I don't know, Splinter Cell, I suppose. Games
full,
like
full
that.
Full motion video for at least some of the cutscenes, right?
And yeah. Poorly made full motion video, by the way. Like really cheap, like crappy digital. I don't even know what they used here. It's bad.
What'd you want for $3.99? It's the equivalent of a Whopper.
It is the equivalent of a Whopper. You're not wrong. Boy, YouTube's really slow today. Here we go. So here he is. He's sneaking around. See, he's in king form here. Try to stay behind that lady. Get up here.
I love how he sneaks. He sneaks like a king would sneak. He's so proper about the sneak. He got his little hands. He got a little T-Rex hands kind of up.
I don't know why this fascinates me so much, but then what he does, he gets behind that guy. And I can't remember what the whole point was, though. Was it to convince him?
It looks like he's trying to figure out what this guy wants. So this is one of those games where it's like, I'm going to figure out what you want and I'm going to deliver it. This guy wants a burger. I'm going to do it.
Yep. That guy's happy. Look, he has a big check mark over his head now. He got a burger out of the deal. Even though Burger King burgers kind of make me nauseous, it's fine. It's just fine. All right. A couple other little known facts about this this game, the spot game, because we're going to get back to that for a second. While the game was a licensed promotion of the soft drink, European versions removed the branding because the European version of 7-Up did not have a spot on the can and was not a mascot. They had Fido Dido.
Oh, yeah. Fido Dido, the squiggly hair guy, right?
Yeah. Squiggly haired guy that was like nothing to do. Well, I mean, he's still, I guess, a mascot, just in a different place. And he had weird hair, and he had his own game, and it never got released on the Genesis, but it was on the Mega Drive, which is the European equivalent,
right?
Or what they called it over there. And what else? There's a hidden credit in the SNES version of the ROM, which reads 1992 Basement Boys Software. Now, this is interesting. Basement Boys Software was a group of famous, or a group that was made famous for making hacking tools on the Commodore 64 in the late 80s.
I knew that name.
This is great. And had some members go on to Chip Level Designs, a company that used to provide sound programming to a number of SNES titles. The same credit appears in Bubsy, if you remember Bubsy at all.
Yes, we played. That was like my game a while back. Bubsy, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah,
seems like it was.
Yeah, and did we mention that Dave Perry was the designer on this thing? I don't know if we did.
Oh, I don't know if we did, but I definitely knew Dave Perry was involved. You might remember from things like Aladdin. This. In other McDonald's
Earthworm Jim, excuse me, freaking Earthworm Jim 1 and 2. Hello,
Earthworm. Yeah, can't forget those. So he was highly involved with all this stuff
for a long time. There, Dave Perry was royalty in game design.
Yes,
and then I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, then
now.
He wasn't.
What's he doing now? Let's find out.
Last time I saw, so Dave Perry's an interesting guy. I think the last time I read an interview with him, he was doing tattoo. He's a tattoo artist. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is one of those off the cuff remarks that I'm going on by memory.
Yeah.
I remember seeing an interview not that long ago with him, and he was, he did some TV stuff for a while, and then he got into tattooing.
All right. Well, here's what he's known for. Everyone knows him for these things. During the 16-bit era, responsible for Disney's Aladdin, Cool Spot, Earthworm Jim, founded China Entertainment.
Great.
He worked there from 93 to 2006. Perry created games for companies such as Disney, 7-Up, McDonald's, Hemdale, and Warner Brothers. In 2008, he was presented with an honorary doctorate from Queen's University in Belfast, where he was from. He's an Irish guy. He was the founder and co-founder of cloud-based gaming Gaikai, which was acquired by Sony. So the Gaikai tech is what Sony uses for PlayStation now, their streaming tech.
Okay, right.
In 2017, he became the co-founder and CEO of customer intelligence startup called Go VYRL Inc., which develops new enhanced brand dashboards, called Caro. That doesn't sound video game related at all, so I think he's not into it anymore.
I also just Googled Dave Perry, and I was confusing that with another Dave Perry.
Well, you're not thinking of Steve Perry, a singer of...
No. This is a different Dave Perry. But maybe that's the reason why I couldn't quite recall all the facts. I probably thought it then, and I got it incorrect. And then I went back and said, wait a minute, that's probably not the same guy.
Yeah. So it looks like he's out of... Oh, he's doing technology brand stuff to work with influencers, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's the Dave Perry I was thinking about.
And he's an investor now. He's not doing anything with gaming anymore, really. I mean, not from that angle. He's not designing anymore, which is kind of a bummer. Because for a while there, it was like, dude, Dave Perry, what are you doing next? And they did that weird MDX, MSX. What was that called? Next Generation. Let's see. I'm just finding this here. Atari acquired his company, Shiny Entertainment, for $47 million.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he helped the Wachowskis make the Matrix movie. So anyway, beyond that, I can't find it.
Dave Perry's killing it.
Yep, Dave Perry, a guy you know and love. All right, what else is interesting here? Back to Pepsi Man for a second. Pepsi Man was made on a very tight budget and did not sell well. They did an interview in the Untold History of Japanese Game Developers book discussing his time. The guy that designed this as KID during the development of Pepsi Man. What does that mean? Now, oh, KID was the name of the company.
I actually put this on the show notes. Yeah, it was KID Games was the development company.
Right.
The guy worked for.
He worked in an area nicknamed the Edge of the Cliff. And they did that because those in that area could be disposed of easily. There was a poster there that said Edge of the Cliff, in case you forgot. So basically they were all like, work on this shit game and we might fire you any second.
Have you read any of the untold history of Japanese game developers? It's a book, and it's just all these great interviews about that, you know, the hell that is development in a Japanese game.
Do you have a least favorite game that would fit in this category? Like, you know, branded, whatever.
Like I said, those
even if they're, let's say it this way. Is there anything that's ever been done like branded that they said, hey, kids, play this video game, where you were just annoyed from the get-go and didn't even try playing the game because you were annoyed they were doing it?
Oh, I didn't even try playing it. Ooh, getting annoyed pre. Ooh, that's a good one.
Because I have one answer to that, but I want to hear yours first.
I have a pretty high tolerance to BS. I can't think of anything that I hated off. I do know that about after 5 seconds to play in the Chester Cheetah games, any of them, they all just were terrible. And the Kool-Aid Man from the Atari and television days was just this weird experiment that didn't work well.
Yeah. I was going to try some of those today, and I decided not to.
Yeah.
Those Kool-Aid, they look really bad.
Keep on moving.
For me, it's funny enough, because some people really liked it, but I did not like America's Army.
That would be easily to be offended by, because it was their recruitment tool. The roof.
Yeah. 100% yeah. Recruitment tool. And it worked, and that's great, and well done, and whatever. And all respect to everyone in the Army, but I didn't like the idea that any government anywhere, it's not just here, any government anywhere would make a video game as a recruitment tool.
Yeah.
That's just something about it rubbed me wrong, man.
It was so fun and so good, and I didn't get recruited.
I didn't think it was that fun. That's the other thing, is I thought it was just arduous to play. I loved it. It was kind of a pain, and it annoyed me.
I don't know exactly what hit all the spots for me, but it was really good for me. I enjoyed the crap out of it.
Yeah. I don't trust governments to get that kind of stuff right. And they don't do it anymore. That's gone now, right? That game doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think they still support that. I don't think that's legacy now.
Video game. Let's just see.
When will they bring out the next America's Army?
It was originally released in 2002, the last version 2013.
Wow, 11 years, huh?
So that's more longer than I thought, actually, to be honest. Yeah. They went all the way up to, let's see, America's Army 5. And then they put out some single unit things. America's Army's Two Soldiers, Special Operations, Rise of Soldier, and Real Heroes.
Yeah.
Real American Hero. It wasn't
G.I. Army.
G.I. Army. That's it. That's the one. All right. What else? Published by, we mentioned all that. We don't have to talk about that. Sequels. There was a second one. Let's talk about this for just a second. Cause this is weird.
Oh yeah. So, the Cool Spot sequel. Yeah.
Now when they did this, this was a popular thing to do, especially in arcades. We've talked before about how Dig Dug 2 is terrible. Why is it terrible? Well, it's because everything about the, or Joust 2 for that matter. Most of the things that were good about the originals, they didn't do in the sequels. Instead, they were like, what if we made it pseudo 3D, top-down, isometric view, whatever. This happened a lot back then, and this game ended up with one of those. It was reported, I haven't played it, but reportedly very difficult.
This is Cool Spot Goes to Hollywood, right?
Cool Spot. Just Spot Goes to Hollywood. They didn't even put Cool in there.
Oh, Spot. I'm sorry. It wasn't cool anymore. Yeah. The cool is implied.
Yeah, it's always cool when you're such a tool. No, that's just rhymed. I couldn't think of anything. Anyway, you were, and they, everyone recommended, if you're going to play this thing, play it on easy. I don't care how much of an elite gamer you think you are. Don't play this on anything but easy, because even easy is just like punishingly ridiculously hard.
Right.
And it had a really cool look, like a rad top down Zaxxon sort of angle on everything.
Okay.
And, people didn't like it.
I never played this, by the way. I'd seen it, but I've never played Spot Goes to Hollywood, because I just knew I would be disappointed after Cool Spot. There's this.
Yeah. You know. Well, yeah, like there's a certain, I don't know, if it was a proper sequel, I could get it. But here you go, chat. You can see how this is playing in a very different view. Very hard to line up.
Oh, okay. I take it back. Now I want to play this. This looks nothing like I thought it would look.
I mean, it's still like a nice little sprite animated version of the character. And a lot of these enemies still, are the ones you're used to.
And they're still collecting the cool spots. And it looks like there's a cool percentage, just like in the cool spot, even though they haven't said it.
Yeah. And they like to have this text cool move around like drunk people. I don't know why they do that.
Coolmongus.
But
password saves.
Yeah, what? Password saves. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. First
this,
game had password
in this
saves.
Era?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
All right.
Well, sure, no. Password saves are the old way, man. Like, right. None of these had batteries in them. These are all poop.
Well, I know. Yeah. Oh, this was SNES, you said?
This would have been SNES, Genesis.
Okay.
May have been in somewhere else, but I think that was it. It was same generation
gen,
as
same
their.
Same gen. Yeah. I got you. Okay. Yeah.
So nothing fancy there. But it's a cool look, right? That's a neat look, but apparently real hard to line up your shots and make sure you're winning and not die. And yeah. A lot of stuff off screen hitting you when you don't mean it to and this sort of thing.
Oh, see, that was my big complaint about Cool Spot, too. You could like look up and down in different areas off screen, mm-hmm. so you'd know what you were about to encounter, so that you could make good choices. Mm-hmm. And man, in Cool Spot, you would fall right on something off screen, even if you were looking.
Yeah,
like it was so frustrating.
It is frustrating, even the 2D one. But this one looks even worse because that crab showed up out of nowhere just now, and that bird. How the hell are you supposed to even hit this bird? Where is it? What plane of
is it? On? Yeah, what plane is it on? Because it's like you're standing next to some steps. So yeah,
this is the problem. This is the problem. Yeah. If in some ways this is ahead of its time because it's trying to recreate a 3D platformer, and that wasn't here yet. And so in some ways it's really neat, and then in other ways you're like, yeah, not it's not going to work, guys. They should have made a turn-based XCOM strategy game. I'd play that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, look how hard this is. This guy's. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Calm spot. I stand by it.
You stand by your statement. Fair enough. All right. That's basically it. Now, if you're saying to yourselves like you do every week, hey, Scott, hey, Brian, how can I play some of these old games? Well, it turns out most of them are up on the couple places. Archive.org has a pretty good Genesis library up there.
Yeah, they do.
It's on there. They have a lot of hacked ROMs and some stuff. I wish they had more legit ones and less hacked ones, but anyway,
the good thing is a lot of the ones that are there, you don't even have to download. So you can stream it right in your browser.
Yeah.
So
just play in your browser.
That makes you feel a little more safe.
Another place I go to all the time is one called playretrogames.com. And it's all, it's, playable ROMs and almost every device is represented there. And that's where I played it today, and it played great. No problem. It has controller support. So you can play that in your browser that way. I don't think Archive does. I don't think it senses controllers. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't it?
I think it, yeah.
Does
yeah,
it?
I'm pretty sure it does. I've played it.
I couldn't get it to work. For whatever reason, it wasn't working for me. I don't know why.
It might be a browser.
Could be.
Connectivity issue or some kind of permission issue. Possibly.
Could have been the one game I tried too. So that's possible. Anyway, that's another place you can get it. And the one place you can't get it is anywhere near 7-Up corporate or their website. They don't have it.
Yeah. You think they'd pretend like this doesn't exist, I suppose.
Don't you think they'd be proud of their history as a, drinky place, but also look at this cool video game we made?
I mean, surprisingly, as time has passed, Cool Spot is really one of the most loved Adver games that ever existed. You would think they would at least go, okay, well. You know,
embrace it.
There's that.
Yeah. Hug your destiny is what I'm saying.
But at this point, I don't even know where corporate 7-Up is. I don't even know if they're still PepsiCo or if they're their own thing. I don't even know what they're doing anymore. So,
yeah, aren't they all owned by at one time they were
Gatorade.
Yeah. But there was like a KFC and Taco Bell were all PepsiCo companies or something. And
KFC, all those places like that. Man, it's hard to keep up with it.
Yeah.
But man, you're right. I would love to have seen a KFC game that was something. I wish they wouldn't lean into the weirdness of the Colonel.
Yeah.
Because we already got the King.
There's that dating sim, that Colonel, good looking Colonel game that came out. That's on Steam.
Oh yeah. That's right. Yeah, I did play that.
Colonel Sex Pod or whatever it was.
Colonel Sex Pod. So that's an interesting question. So where have games gone? Because during the generation we're talking about, one of the hottest things was platforming. So of course that's where they're gonna go, is easy to develop for, and it's got a fan base. And now we're all over the place. And it seems like the marketing is mostly focused towards the mobile and the, you know, the runners because those are just so easy.
Yeah.
Or this is Pepsi Man.
But you can also do these like the KFC thing on Steam seems like a no brainer because what do they have to invest in that? Barely anything.
Right.
Doesn't cost anything to put a game on Steam other than your time and your effort.
But you think about fried chicken when you think about dating?
No, I don't. Not at all.
I don't.
Yeah, what I want is a game where a chicken runs around shooting shit. Or you know what? Even better, the colonel running around like a dual stick shooter with the colonel shooting. Right.
I want the colonel to be an old Southern Kentucky kind of guy with a sword, right? Constantly being offended and fighting for his honor.
Yeah, just one duel after the other.
Madam, yeah, one duel after
sir,
the other.
Sir, I take offense at what you said, sir, and then 40 paces. All right. Well, that's your game. Go check it out. It's also available to carts and stuff. You can get them on eBay for $10 to $30. That seems a little high.
Yeah.
Cool spot.
But. Well, I don't think it's too bad for cool
I don't think
spot.
It's bad. I mean, I just think it's higher than you should pay for a game that old, is what I'm saying.
Right. Now,
the problem is if it's a supply and demand problem, then yeah, sure. I guess you pay more. But
the thing is, I mean, inflation. I mean, we've been talking about inflation for a while, but now inflation's really real, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I mean, what is $10 or $20 in 2022 compared to what, you know, it cost originally?
Hey, don't say that. I want it to go down again. That's what I want. I don't want inflation to keep going up. Does inflation ever go down? It only goes up, right?
I think it retreats. I don't know if it ever
it never makes up for what you lost though. Right. Like it's never going to be like, oh, a week ago, these were 10, these were 5. Now they're 10. And then when inflation slows down, it might still be 10, but it's never going to be 5 again.
Right. You've totally ran out of my area of any type of expertise.
I know everyone's talking out of our butts about this. There's no way we know anything. All right. Everybody, we hope you enjoyed our discussion about that stuff. And we'll get into what's up next week soon. But before that, it's time to play Guess Our Game.
Destroy it.
It's where we play a little clip from an old game and we try to trick each other into figuring it out. Not trick each other, just challenge each other. That's all.
Really? I try to trick you. I'm like, what can I do? Let me start this clip here so that I can trick and fool.
Yeah. You're the Loki of the Frog Pants Network.
That's right.
All right. So I'm going to play mine. Chaos. Brian, here's your hint. This game came out in 1994.
1994.
It is very controversial, and I think they pulled it from production. I don't know the full story on this thing, but something like that, because it was a little bit controversial. So you may not know this, but I thought it was an interesting one, and I do remember it. So here we go. 94, Genesis, SNES era stuff. Here you go.
Hey, that's classic.
Guy sounds like you.
What is it?
He'll do it again. That's him getting hit in the gut.
Right.
All right. Any ideas? Guesses?
There's a couple of guesses. And I'm pretty sure. I think
it sounds like Vegas.
I can see this, but I want for some reason I'm like going. Was this when the Geico caveman was? Is he doing an ever gaming? I'm like, no, that can't be right. So it's did BC have a game? Because it definitely sounds like somebody, you know, like
caveman-y.
Caveman, right?
Well, funny you should say that, because the part of the game I'm playing right now in audio. Hang on.
You see, that's all, you know, 2001.
Yeah. You're not wrong to say that, because this part is set there, but it's a time travel thing. So they're not there the whole time.
Okay.
He's just there for a little bit. I'll tell you, you're never going to get it.
Is Bill and Ted's excellent gaming adventure?
You're never going to get it. Nobody in the world's going to get this, but it was called Normie's Beach Babe-O-Rama.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Yeah, it's old. No one remembers it.
Normies? Yeah. That is such a modern term.
Yeah.
So what was it again? Normies?
Normie. Like the guy's name is Norm. He goes by Normie.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
Normies traveled to what now?
Normies. Sorry. Normie's Beach Babe-O-Rama is what it's called.
Beach Babe-O-Rama. So this is kind of like, okay, so that was...
It's sexy. It's sexist as hell. It's super sexist. Right. And it's
Was it before or after the Leisure Suit Larry?
Oh, well after, but it's also very different. Leisure Suit Larry being more of an adventure game. This is like full on, like what we've been talking about today. Very platform.
Right.
It's super dumb, dude.
I want to tell you something.
Go.
I want to tell you something. I want you not to judge me.
All right,
I'm
ready.
Sit there and not judge me.
Give it to me.
So I'm going through the MAME emulator.
Yeah.
And I got my Atari stick and everything. And I'm going through stuff, right? And I'm scrolling through the retro art, seeing what all I got here. And I'm like, okay, that's stupid. That's dumb. Okay, this all sucks. This is stupid.
Yeah.
That sucks. And I came across one. It was called, Supermodels something. And I looked at the cover art and I'm like, oh.
Is it Japanese?
I think I've seen these games before. Have you ever been to I haven't been in decades, but I used to go to bars occasionally and they would usually be like an arcade machine, usually a countertop arcade machine.
Yeah.
And there'd always be some loser over there smoking it up with, like the big stack of quarters. He maybe wasn't a loser. Maybe he was the coolest guy ever. I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know. You never know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I recognized, and I'm like, oh, I always was curious about those little arcade machines because, I get bored in bars. I'm not a bar guy.
I'm like,
maybe I should play one. But it's always seemed to be like the cards were flipped around that would have like sexy babes or something. And some of the places were like, it'd have almost like near nudity. I'm like, no, I can't play those things.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
This supermodel game, I said, okay, let me see what these games were like. And so you have this little happy face guy. And you're like on the outside edges of the screen where you can navigate them around. And then you can make inroads by cutting into a picture that's kind of like partially hidden.
Yeah.
But there's like there's little insects or bugs or different things that kind of try to stop you. And if they hit your line, so it's kind of like Tron. So like if you're running across trying to reveal a chunk of the photo that you're trying to do, it'll hit it.
Yeah.
And it'll hit your line, you'll die.
Yeah, I get it.
All right.
Yeah.
This game is such, I was like, oh my God, this game is such a terrible psychological trick to try to get bored dudes to spin more quarters.
Oh,
I've never felt more exploited. Even though I had all the quarters in the world, I never felt more exploited because, it was such a cheater game.
Yeah.
It was constantly having things that were obviously a cheat where it'd come attack me. And I'm like, you didn't. That's not procedurally just random.
Oh, yeah.
That's intentional.
Got to remember, these games were mostly designed. I remember NBA Jam was the worst at the time, but that rubber banding is real, man. They're there to get your quarters, nothing else.
That's God. I felt so exploited, though. I felt more exploited than the lady that was in a swimsuit that I was trying to reveal. So
That's great. The pixelated lady they were trying to get all the clothes off of.
Right. Well, I can't wait. I was like, how would you do this in the bar? Because, people can see you doing this. I mean, I was like, this is weird.
Yeah. What's weird about this one?
I just want to share that. I never played those games. I was always curious.
Yeah. Those are a big deal for a lot of people. This game is really not that salacious. It's basically, someone in the chat said it looks very average. It is. It just is kind of goofy.
Right.
There's a speed element that's sort of Sonic-y, but it's not. It's not the same. It's just not quite the same. You also fight bosses at the end, so he's fighting this caveman here.
My God, this is like somebody took the BC comic and said, "Let me colorize it."
Yeah, a little bit. Look at this. It's just a real cheese ball thing. But the thing that you're always aiming for, the reason he's doing any of this time traveling is he's trying to rescue these beach babes that were stolen by the aliens, and so the whole premise is just kind of dumb.
Beach babe.
Yeah, so it didn't really come to much fruition. Well done, EA. It still came out for a bit, but then they pulled production and hardly anyone ever played it. So I kind of played a trick on you today by playing.
Here I'm going to post in the chat room. It was called what is this game called that I was telling you about? Supermodel. Is this called Super Space Model? And you picked like
super space model,
like super there's a space character, space, and then model, and you had to choose your character, and it was like from Uncle Fester or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
It was just the weirdest. It was the weirdest, dirtiest thing I feel like I've ever. There's no nudity, but
Barbie game called Barbie Supermodel.
That was actually before it, and I was like, Barbie Supermodel. Like, shut up. But yes, no, this was actually called Super Space, and I put a link in the chat room if you want to take a look at it.
Right.
I just thought it was just a weird. I was like, God. This is 1994, by the way.
Yeah, skeevy men at bars. They want nudity. That's what they want.
Oh, so it was something called a non-nude clone of New Fantasia. Oh, I'm glad I didn't play that because I thought it was like the Disney Fantasia. I'm glad I didn't look at that.
Oh, here it is.
I saw that too.
Yeah, these bar games. Weird. It's a weird angle. Like, it's like slot machines. Right. I just don't fully get it, you know?
But, you know, it's obviously very popular with some people. I don't know. I was trying to dig into the psychology of it.
So wait, that's Uncle Fester up there, and then Saddam Hussein.
RoboCop's up there.
RoboCop. What the heck?
I'm like, those aren't licensed. I know they didn't get licensed on that. And it's like, are they under the idea of parody? Maybe. I'm like, I don't know.
You know what I played a bunch of today was that RoboCop arcade game. That's pretty good.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yeah, as side scrollers go, and as licensed properties go. I'm here to tell you that RoboCop game ain't bad. It's all right.
Right.
Brian, I'm going to play your clip. Let's see if I can figure out what it is. Here it is. That's a loud one. Right, let's see what we got here.
Yes, loud. It's arcade, baby. It's 80,
what would you say?
86 is what it was.
Are you shooting stuff? Yeah, I'm shooting stuff, right?
You're shooting stuff.
Was I hear a voice? Hold on. No. I don't know what this is. Chat room looking like they know. Arkanoid? Is it Arkanoid?
Yeah, Arkanoid. Nailed it, chat room.
Chat room gets it. Yeah, chat room gets it. I don't get it. That's very good. I would not have gotten that. Was this the... this is the arcade version.
Right.
So I... Ooh. I played an old Mac... Or no, it's not Mac. Apple IIe version of Arkanoid. I don't know if it was a ripoff or like an actual licensed one. And I also played the later like SNES version.
Right.
Arkanoid has its moments. There's nothing wrong with that series. It's okay.
I like it. It was, I didn't really play it a lot. I'd seen it and I was like, I think I want to play that a little bit. Because, well, one of the reasons why is because, I got my Atari Fight Stick and it's got the ball in the middle. So I was kind of like, scrolling through different games I could potentially or do use the mouse track, the trackball thing they got.
Wait, did Arkanoid? I thought Arkanoid used a...
It just uses a joystick.
Oh, okay.
But you can use it. You can still use it.
You can use it, right.
So yeah, you can still use it.
I thought it, for some reason, I thought it was a spin wheel or like the knob. You know what I'm talking about?
It might have been a knob. See, that's what I need. See, that was one of the things that they were selling with this suggested for this Atari Fight Stick thing was to get the knob. You need the knob.
Yeah, I need the knob. I'm thinking of Breakout. Just had a knob on my.
Yeah, Breakout definitely knobbed it.
And because Arkanoid is like, hey, what if we took Breakout and made it huge? What if we did that?
Right. What if we had a shooter element to it?
Yeah. Well, then what would we do?
Then what? Then what would happen?
All right, you guys. It's time for an email.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Time to read this email. Got one to, or these all come to the same place, playretroshow@gmail.com, playretroshow@gmail.com. Jamie, we know Jamie.
Oh, hi, Jamie. Yeah. Is that our TMS Jamie?
Yeah, TMS TMS Mashups Jamie. Definitely him.
Oh.
Says, well, hello, gentle nerds. Just wanted to quickly say how much I've been enjoying the new show. I loved Boop all the way through, even when it was just Scott bandying about. That must be, he means before you came on.
When you were doing it solo for a while.
Yeah, I was just doing like a headline show back in the day. Anyway, I love me some retro games. It's my favorite type of game to play. Retro Arch coupled with my 8-bit Do Pro controller makes for some good times. I need to get one of those again. I don't know where my other one
is. I do too. We need to get some more. We need to do a controller episode. No. I must put my money back in my pocket.
We're going to go broke. I don't know. We get enough Patreons. We get enough patrons.
That's right.
Maybe we can afford it. Anyway, ever since you announced this new show, I've been excited to see you guys dive into the original Super Mario Brothers series. The beginnings of Mario 2, the perfection that was Mario 3. I couldn't think of two people more qualified to discuss these classic games. Keep doing what you're doing. I love everything about the show. Cheers, Jamie.
Yes.
Well, Jamie from Canada, I like that idea a lot. I would love to deep dive Mario 2 in particular because that thing is weird. It's so weird.
Right. And right. I'd like to go back. But 3, I can. Is that where I can fly?
Yes, you can be the raccoon suit and the...
I can raccoon it.
What was the other thing you could be in there? Maybe it was just raccoon. I haven't played 3 in so long. But 2 is weird. 2 has a whole story behind it. It wasn't even the same team building it. It was very odd. The mechanics were pulling turnips out of the ground and throwing it at stuff. Birdo. What the hell kind of creature is Birdo? Like, it's a weird, weird part of the Mario legacy and definitely worth discussion. But yeah, we could probably make a whole episode out of those, out of those 3 probably.
Jamie, I got 2 words. Let's-a-go.
Yeah, let's-a-go. Well, he didn't say any of that stuff back in the day.
Well, no, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
He just you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know what you mean. I know what you're, I feel what you're dishing up.
If he could have said let's-a-go in 3, he would have said let's-a-go.
Yeah, it would have been like, let's-a-go. I mean, it's like all crusty. Early voice modulation is one of my favorite things about that era of video games.
Interesting. You should say something about great voice modulation and synthesis.
Well, I wonder why we would, because maybe, just maybe, our discussion next week will surround a game called Berserk from the arcade. That had some voice modulation as well as some really intense sounds.
Talk about your idle animation. You didn't get any.
No.
If you did, you got chased around.
If you were idle in that game, you were dead in that game. So
yes, right. You were dead. You were as good as dead.
So Berserk, the arcade experience. Berserk. Technically, it was Berserk 20. What's the full name? Berserk game. Why can't I think of the numbers? 2049? No.
Did it have a number? I thought it was just, I always just called it Berserk. Maybe there was some numbers behind it.
I thought it was Berserk. Oh, geez. Does anyone know? Chat room, you guys know? Intruder alert.
Berserk
intruder alert.
19. Oh, maybe you're like, because part of the voice work. I got you. So there's like 30 phrases or something. Or words that they would say in this game, which was amazing because it meant that the arcade was talking to us in 1980.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1980 was very early. Oh, here it is. I found it. It was called...
Is it just Berserk?
Berserk 2049 starred Harrison Ford. Good job, Ford.
You know what? I don't know what I'm thinking of. It is just Berserk. What am I thinking of?
Yeah,
it was
you're
a
probably
sequel?
Thinking of Robotron is what you're probably thinking
of. Oh, I am thinking of Robotron.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, screw
Robotron. We're talking Berserk. Robotron's awesome, too. It'll come up in the discussion. But Berserk has a real place for me. I love that game. Put a lot of quarters in there.
So many quarters.
A lot of what games are today owe a few things to Berserk and Robotron, for that matter. So we'll get to all of that next week.
We're still in the maze games back then, right? That was right before we started... getting into some other things, getting vertical with the Donkey Kong.
Yeah. And we got, there was a weird split happening then because you had, it felt like
space shooters.
Half the games were vector and half of them weren't.
Right.
The industry really wanted to go vector, but vector was limited in the end. It wasn't, you know.
It really did. And I actually wanted to, that was one of the topics I was going to suggest. I'm like, oh, we should do like a vector based game episode one day, but man, there are no stories in that little pot. I looked around. And I'm like, it is.
There's some amazing games there.
Technical stuff.
There's some amazing games there. Like, yeah. Like we could go on all day about, I don't know, Tempest or whatever, but Battlezone. But for me, it would be more about like that Vectrex home console and what that thing did.
Yes.
Why it didn't really succeed, but are still very rad. And I want one bad. I want a Vectrex.
It was so futuristic, man. When I played the Star Wars, it was the first time I felt like I was actually inside of a video game, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. And you could play, you know, I think it had Star Castle on there, which I did a couple weeks ago for this show. Just an awesome little device. My friend had one. I didn't have one. I hated him for it. I still don't like him. Still don't like him for it.
I love that. You know what? That's all. Everybody always has a story about their friend and the consoles that they had.
Yeah.
I would like to discuss that one day if we could find an angle to make it interesting. But I think everybody has that friend they either loved or hated or was envious of because of their devices.
Yep. I agree. So more on that next week. It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to that show. I hope you guys are as well. All right. Before we get out of here, let's remind the fine folks at home how they can help us out. If they like this show and would like to see us continue to grow it and expand it, patreon.com/playretro. Speaking of which, if you're a patron, you got to see Brian's unlisted video today. Yeah. Him messing around with Donkey Kong. That was pretty cool. Much pretty more fun. Coming in that direction. I think I may do a little bit of, I don't know, some coverage of this thing on there as well. Once I get my head around this new device. But anyway, we'd love to get more of your feedback both there and email about these devices. What are the coolest things to have these days? What controllers are you using? All that kind of stuff. Join us at patreon.com/playretro. playretroshow@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @playretroshow as well. If you're just looking for the website and want links to all this stuff, it's real simple. frogpants.com/playretro has all of that information. Okay, so one place to go if that's all you want. You're good to rock. Big shout out and thanks to whoever it is over at Pocket Cast who decided in their wisdom to feature us last week. That was awesome. No idea why that happened, but that was great. I know it's a manual process, so somebody over there likes us.
Oh, and that's why I love them most.
Yeah, made me happy to see that. So thanks for that. And if you guys found us that way, give us your thoughts and feedback. Send those emails, playretroshow@gmail.com. Brian, is there anything else you'd like to add before we go?
That's about it. You know, I play these games throughout the week, so if you tune in 6 p.m. Eastern Time, most nights I'll be playing something retro and probably something for the show.
Right.
Twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway.
Keep your eye on that. For everything else, check out frogpants.com. More shows like this. This is going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next week for more. Thanks for watching. We'll see you then.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsitis.
Kayla Itzinez. I'm Kayla Itzinez, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.